the pallets, and we are ready to go. It is Thursday, November 12th on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. That is Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I am Preston Scott. It is show number 4364, and it's our final show of the week. We will be off tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday, back Wednesday next week, with a couple of shows before taking another day, I think. Yeah, and then it's going to be a real long Thanksgiving weekend because we are off Thursday and Friday Thanksgiving week, and then I'll be off the following Monday, and Dallas will just be gone.
I know.
And don't you give me a hard time about it, because it's not my fault.
I know. Hey, look, I'm going to miss this, too. I have a lot of fun doing this. I mean, it's not that I got up.
How could you not?
It's not like I got up and said, I'm not doing that anymore because I hate it. I have to. I'm just out of time. It's just a time thing. If I could continue to do this and the other stuff, I would. But
all that's missing from that soliloquy is a man's got to do what a man's got to do, Preston. Oh, sure. Dallas is going all hunter-gatherer on me. And is going to be leaving the show November 25th. All right. Here's our verse of the day. John 14:27. Peace I leave with. This is my verse today. This is for me.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Those are comforting words. Now, this is a good devotional. Listen to this. The presence of fear is the single most dramatic influence on our daily lives. Fear is clever. This is the part that really stood out to me. Like a chameleon, it adapts to the environment and changes to fit the conditions around it. That's so true about fear. And you know what's interesting? And my wife was the first to point this out to me. Almost every bad decision I've ever made on a personal level has been the result of fear. You know, I wish I could say that I'd learned that lesson earlier, and I'm human. I'm prone to still lapse into that. But boy, there's some tremendous truth in that statement that fear is like a chameleon. It adapts to every circumstance where you find it. And it's true. So there's your verse of the day. It is a busy day today, not quite as busy as yesterday, so we'll get to talk through a few more things today. Kim Moore joins us in the third hour. We'll try to help you stake out a new career path if you're looking. If you know somebody that is really needing some direction or some help or some encouragement with regard to career, third hour, right at the head of the third hour, Kim Moore will join us. Next hour, Bill Zimfer, Dr. David Hartz. We will, with Dr. Hartz, you know, we were talking about nutrients and some of the things that would be really helpful for you to take. This week, we're going to talk about how much exercise is good for the heart. There's no doubt that we have way too much or too many people with a sedentary lifestyle. You gotta do some things. Daily, at least weekly, you've got to raise that heart rate and push it a little bit. We'll talk to Dr. Hartz about that. Bill Zimfer, of course. Steve Stewart from Tallahassee Reports with the latest of what's going on in and around the capital city. The state and history coming up next. Boy, elections have consequences, ladies and gentlemen. And if the result holds, you know, Joe Biden's doing everything he can to swing Georgia to Republicans with the things he's saying in the first few days of his president-elect status. Sweet God, he's lost his mind. But there's even a story about Georgia that you better be aware of. And I'll share a conversation I had yesterday with the supervisor of elections in the Peach State. That's that and more all coming up on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Here's the solution. The solution is for the legislature to say you can't register to vote for just the special election. If you didn't vote in the general election, sorry.
Yeah.
That's the solution. But anyway.
I think if you're going to use a lease or something like that, it's got to it would have already had to have been established before November 3rd.
Before November 3rd. I completely agree. Yeah. And you must have been registered to vote in the November 3rd election. Now, if you didn't, but you were registered to, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, let's remember, the whole point of U.S. senators from an individual state is to represent the interests of that state, not people living in other states. You have your own U.S. senators. But this is the contemptible behavior of Democrats. And I'm sorry. I sound like a typical partisan hack. But seriously, you ought to be embarrassed. You should be ashamed of yourselves if you're a Democrat. And for those of you, well, I'm just a registered Democrat, you know, screw that. You should be ashamed. Enough with the excuses. Do away with your registration. Leave the party. I'm not telling you to join the Republicans. I'm telling you, stop being part of this type of organization. This is embarrassing. And quit making excuses for being a member. Well, you know, I want to vote in primaries. Then fine. Be a Republican if you want to vote in primaries. But don't be part of this. Send a message. This is embarrassing. Locally, in this part of the world, they're nonpartisan races. So being a Democrat or Republican is meaningless. Okay, I'm done with that. Joe Biden's, listen to this, okay? Joe Biden's chief advisor on COVID, Ezekiel Emanuel, believes that if this vaccine is in fact the vaccine to use, the world should get it first, not America. He believes that this should be released globally to others first, not us.
And why?
He also believes because we're global citizens, Dallas, and we need to share it first. He also believes that if you're 75 and older, you shouldn't be treated. He's one of those guys. He wrote a paper that said he hopes he dies at 75 because there's nothing much useful that happens to you after 75. Does he know how old Joe Biden is? No, I'm serious. Is he aware that Joe Biden is 77? So we can take it then that Joe Biden, now follow me, wait for the punchline. So we can assume that Joe Biden, if he gets COVID, doesn't get a dose, doesn't get treated because he's over 75, according to his medical advisor here. Oh, that's right. He's the president. So he gets special treatment. That's how these people think. They think they're better. They're enlightened more. They have the inside knowledge. Yeah, socialism didn't work very well in Venezuela, but we'll do it differently because we're smarter. Speaking of, Nancy Pelosi, when asked, refused to denounce socialism. What's interesting about that is that in 2019 on 60 Minutes, she said socialism was not the view of her party. Yet now when she's asked, she would not. She said there's a difference of opinion among members of her caucus. But she wouldn't denounce socialism. Really? This is what you're getting, people, in the White House. I'm going to tell you, this is a classic example of elections have consequences. Not only are you going to be facing more government intrusion, you're going to be facing higher taxes, higher prices. Watch what happens to gas. You know, truckers are threatening to strike across the country because of Biden's anti-fracking position. They won't deliver Democrats in the White House. That's what happens. 46 minutes after the hour.
Weekend weather on the 10s and the truth all the time. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okay, listen now. 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 Listen closely now. Now. Now.
We're doing jingles,
listen closely now. Now. I'm quite the lyricist, I know. Good morning, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. It's great to be with you. Show number 4364 here on Thursday, November the 12th. And, of course, we're also keeping an eye on 19 days until the national release of the McRib, ladies and gentlemen. 19 days before we can have that tantalizing, tangy barbecue. Yes. McRib Watch 2020. We go to the big stories in the press box, and friends, just brace yourselves. Yesterday, I made a phone call to Frank Scoggins. Frank is the supervisor of elections in Thomas County, Georgia. And I was pleased to note when I called in that the administrative assistant to Frank answered the phone. I said, I'm Preston Scott with WFLA. Well, hello, Preston. I listen to you every morning. Why, thank you, ma'am. And it sounds like Frank has spent a minute or two listening to the program. I won't share some things that we talked about, but I will share this. There is grave concern of what's happening in Georgia. Presidential candidate Andrew Yang yesterday tweets out, or the day before. Actually, it was 6 days ago he tweeted out, but he's been tweeting it ever since. He and his wife are moving to Georgia to register to vote in the special election, and they've asked all of their followers to do the same. Thomas Friedman, a columnist with the New York Times, shortly after the election suggested, noting that there would be a special election runoff for two U.S. Senate seats in Georgia, suggested that people move to the Peach State solely for the purpose of voting. Now, in Georgia, listen, you can vote one day after moving there. Now, here's the caveat. You must have a photo license, driver's license from Georgia. And you must have a proof of residence, an electric bill. But also what was mentioned is the possibility of a lease being acceptable. Is there anyone doubting that there are people in Georgia that would write a fictitious lease for a room that they have to take these people in? Saying that their legal residence is there and that they've executed a lease. What I'm telling you is, Georgia, this is not far-right conspiratorial. This is a presidential candidate from the Democrat Party asking people to move here to Georgia specifically to sway the election. That is sick, twisted, and potentially felonious. That is how power-hungry Democrats are. They are willing to lie and cheat. I don't know whether the state legislature will do something. I think it would be only appropriate to say, no, you can't move here and vote now. If you were here, registered, and could legally vote in the general election, because the special election is an extension of the general election, if you were here then, you can vote now. If you weren't here then and eligible to vote in the general election, you cannot vote in the special election. I'm just warning you now, people. This is happening. 40 minutes after the hour in the morning show.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
I do not have an updated number on Operation Thanksgiving from Samaritan's Purse. I hope to have one before the show ends today. And so all I can tell you is keep giving. We're pushing to get to that 10,000 mark. I don't know if we'll get to it by the end of the day. We're not on the air tomorrow, Monday or Tuesday. So I'm losing 3 days of strong promotional opportunity. So if you have not given, I'm going to be bold here, and I'm going to say that I know for many, giving to something that's not expected. By the way, you can expect to do this again next year. So you can put it in your planner. Spark Week, we're going to do something. Operation Thanksgiving, Operation Spirit of Christmas. It is payday weekend for a lot of people. The 15th is on Sunday, and so a lot of you might get paid on Friday. You might get paid on Monday. But if you can set aside that $20 or whatever you can do, that would be amazing. SamaritansPurse.org/WFLA. But don't miss out. I do believe that there's a blessing in being connected to things like this. I really do. And if everybody does a little, I'm betting that many of you did not hear the good news story last Friday because you're listening at 6 a.m. and you probably have things to do and you might not get around to the podcast. In our good news story, we talked about a guy in an Indian village that heard the story of a man who took 40 years to build a roadway through a mountain for his village to be able to connect. And he did it by hand, knocking through rocks to create this roadway. And this guy thought, well, you know, everybody's leaving our village because we don't have water. Maybe I can get water here for our cattle and for us to have. Because there was a spring 2 miles away that was a freshwater pond, but it was 2 miles away. And family and friends and people were moving out of the village. And then he said, well, I'm going to dig a canal. And he started 30 years ago. He was laughed at. He was made fun of. Sadly, he was watched. He was literally watched digging by himself every day, 4 feet wide, 3 feet deep, putting the soil to the side. And I thought to myself, first, he did it. He just finished and got water there, and now he's the hero of the village. But I got to thinking, imagine that exact scenario here. Imagine if 500 people in that village had gotten their hands on a $20 shovel and started digging that canal with him. How quickly that would have gotten done. This Operation Thanksgiving is much the same. I'm asking you to go buy a $20 shovel and help us dig a well. Only give it to SamaritansPurse.org/WFLA. So if you can, that would be awesome. I didn't get to this yesterday. Taco Bell has angered vegans. Vegans are mad because Taco Bell has pulled all potatoes from the menu. Any menu that had a potato item in it, it's gone. They're not doing anything based on potatoes anymore on the menu.
Well, the good news about angering vegans is they rarely have the energy to respond.
They're holding up signs in front of Taco Bell saying, Taco Bell hates vegans. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're a vegan and you're relying on the fast food industry for sustenance,
you're doing something wrong.
Something really isn't lined up in your world. I'm just
trying to figure out the vegan that is so mad at Taco Bell. Like, that is the place where he goes to get his meals. The place where there are 6 ingredients and only 1 is a vegetable.
Devin Blackburn posts a video about an encounter at a Taco Bell. He said, I go and spend $12 there. Dude, I'm vegan. I can't eat there anymore. Protester responds, my sister's vegan. She's pissed about the potatoes, bro. Blackburn, I'm pissed about the potatoes.
All I hear is...
Earth to vegans. Go graze in a field somewhere. I mean, whatever. You know, if that's your thing, that's awesome. But don't be mad at the fast food industry, for Pete's sake. Healthy food and fast food industry, oxymoron to the core.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okay, this date in history, it is November the 12th, so we open up the Patriots Almanac, the American Patriots Almanac. Not a lot here, 1892, this is good though. In Pittsburgh, William Pudge Helfinger. Did you ever hear of him? He should be an icon.
No. Pudge?
Pudge Helfinger becomes the first professional football player when he earns $500 playing for the Allegheny Athletic Association against the Pittsburgh Athletic Club. They paid old Pudge $500. My guess with that nickname, Pudge was the precursor of William...
The refrigerator.
Yeah, Perry. Yeah. Yeah, that's my guess.
Pudge. He must have been a big boy.
Back in the day, he probably cut quite a silhouette.
His shadow had a zip code.
I like that. 1942, the Naval Battle of Guadalcanal begins. Pivotal Allied victory in the Pacific. 1954, Ellis Island closed. On this date in 1954, Ellis Island, which had processed more than 12 million immigrants since opening in New York Harbor in 1892... which, by the way, was the same year that William Pudge Helfinger earned the first $500 playing pro football.
See what happens? We get professional football and we shut down Ellis Island.
Crazy.
It's a trade-off, man.
1981, the space shuttle Columbia becomes the first manned spacecraft ever to be launched twice when it lifts off at Cape Canaveral. So there you go. As you're listening to these COVID numbers climb back up, I'm going to bring you back to what some of us have been saying, not alone, backed by science, but that science that gets pushed to the side because the narrative won't allow for it. It's the same science that says, yes, the climate changes and it's changing now just like it's changed all throughout its created history. But it's not man's fault that it's changing. That science is pushed to the side and relegated sidebar status by the illiberal elites and the mainstream media. The same is true with the concept of herd immunity. And we have told you, we have shared evidence, we have pointed out time and again, mask wearing delays the inevitable. There is allegedly some lingering immunity when one gets coronavirus. But because we've prohibited this thing to move and be done, because allegedly masks, you know, and social distancing and shutting things down. And I don't doubt that masks have some impact, but I don't think it makes much of a difference at all. And I've been saying, look at the numbers. Look how many places are in lockdown and still getting the virus. Look how many people wearing masks are getting the virus. And I'll point out that if unless you build up your immune system and you're able to just naturally fight it off, personally, I think I probably got exposed to it somewhere along the line, but I build up my immune system with nutrients, and I take zinc lozenges when I have the first hint. I accept that I won't taste food normally for a week. But guess what? Zinc is an established protocol for attacking viruses, including COVID-19. My point is, you watch what's about to happen. The pressure is on to shut down the country. And the people advising the president-elect want to do it, and they can't wait. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott.
Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Steve Stewart in just a bit here on the morning show. Great to be with you, show 4364. On the blog page, I have loaded the blog page up. Project, you may have heard the story. Okay, there's a USPS Postal Service worker that listened to supervisors. He signed an affidavit that they were defrauding the election by backdating ballots that came in late. They were ordering it to happen. He heard this. He witnessed it. He swore an affidavit. Well, all of a sudden, then the story comes out that he recanted his story under investigation by federal inspectors with the United States Postal Service Office of Inspector General. Guy's like, no, I did not. And so he does an interview with Project Veritas, full face, no hiding, no distortion of a voice. He's a Marine.
He's a Marine?
He's a Marine.
You're not going to scare him, boys.
And look, he looks like a good-natured guy, and he doesn't cut the mold of what you might think of as a typical Marine. But he said, let me tell you something. I'd rather be in Afghanistan than what I'm dealing with right now. He said, this is crazy. And he recorded them interviewing him. They played some of the tape of what they... Look, I'm not trying to pressure you, although I kind of am. I'm serious. I'm not trying to pressure you, but, you know, this is a crazy situation here, and I'm not trying to intimidate you, but I kind of am.
They said that?
Yes. You hear it. See it for yourself, and you can go from, I've got about a 7-8 minute part of the interview, and you can listen to the whole thing later elsewhere, but it's there. It's there. I don't know if it's enough votes to matter. If you know what, my wife and I were looking last night, and she was pointing out, you know, the vote margins are absolutely close enough for a recount. All of these states, If you look at the numbers as they have been reported, yeah, they are. By the way, the Republicans have 50 senators now. They have 50. That's settled. It's all about whether they have 51 or 52. That's Georgia. But go check it out on the blog page. There's just brilliant stuff on the blog page. Yes, thank you very much. It's all good. You'll have a great time. And if you want a distraction, I've got a link up there so you can just watch the Berry College Bald Eagles whenever they show up at the Nest live. You just click that and it's live. You can just see it. Nice distraction. That's what that is. Operation Thanksgiving. I don't know exactly where we are. We'll get an update maybe by the end of the show. I imagine we're past the halfway point. Looking for $10,000. If you haven't given, please do. We are off the air tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday, back Wednesday. And so the days left before Thanksgiving are being compressed because of time off. And so we really need you to push in. If you can give 500 people, think of it as buying a $20 shovel. We're going to dig a well that's going to change the world. I don't know if you heard our interview yesterday where he was describing the before and after when these villages get water for the first time ever. People, we take for granted flipping that faucet and having water. There are villages, these poor villages, that have never, ever
had water to share. Ever. We get to be part of that. That is so awesome. So if you can, give what you can as soon as you can. Just go to SamaritansPurse.org/WFLA. If you're looking for something silly to get for a Christmas gift, Sean Connery's original gun from James Bond's Dr. No, the Walther PP, the prop gun, is up for sale.
How much?
They expect it to go between $150,000 and $200,000, $150,000 to $200,000. I think it's going to climb north of there. But we'll see. Just saying, if you want to, you know, I do collect things. Steve Stewart next. Five minutes after the hour. It is hour number two of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Thursday, November the 12th. It is show 4364. Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B, and joining me is Steve Stewart. That's what he does on Thursdays. Comes in here, tells us what's really going on in town, because otherwise we wouldn't know. Now, would we? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Lot to get through. You know?
He's still a little numb over last week, because it's the numbness that keeps on causing me to be numb.
Yeah, it's fading a little bit. I mean, you got a lot of... I mean... Obviously, there are people who are more focused on this. You know, I don't have the luxury of just sitting around because of the response. Some, you know, four kids in school.
Presidential election. What are you talking about?
It's over.
I'm running for office every morning in my home.
So you sort of have to move on. You know, there's new things to talk about. But it is, you know, it's I think it's something that people that if you're on social media, people were so invested. And it's going to take some time, obviously.
Crime numbers locally. We had a spike. Is it still spiking?
Yeah, you know, we've gone... I've been following the incident reports and the arrest, the booking reports. And what we're doing is try to put them into facts-based data so that we can look at trends. And some of the information we got, you know, 2 months ago, I checked with TPD to make sure we were looking at what we were... You know, that it was the correct way to look at it. And it's not getting enough... It's not getting enough ink. It's not getting enough publicity. But, I mean, violent crime, if you look at the incidents, they publish the TPD, publishes an incident report every day, and we're coding that. The overall incidents are pretty comparable to where they were last year during this time, the last couple of months. But violent crime is almost doubled in a lot of categories that are not good. Mm. And we're talking about death investigations, batteries, assault and battery, talking about armed robbery. Mm-hmm. Sexual battery, and I mean doubled. And we're not looking at 1 month now. Now we're looking at August, September, October.
Lengthy trends.
So that coupled with we're looking at arrests. Arrests have never reached a level that they were at in January, February, March after the COVID mitigation efforts. So they are about half of what they were. So you're starting to now obviously. This is just a theory, but you start seeing these violent crimes and you start seeing lower arrests, you start to wonder what's going on there.
Arrests are down, crime numbers, violent crime. You almost start to think, well, pop psychology tells you that people are getting away with things and committing more serious crimes.
Right. And again, 1 month doesn't make a trend, but 3 months you start to raise some questions. And the thing is, we're talking violent crime here. You remember when there was a big promotion about they had a lot of auto thefts burglaries where they would go in and steal stuff out of your car. And remember there was a big PR campaign about locking your door.
Yeah.
But that's not the issue now. It's violent crime. And when you start talking about armed robberies, and battery. I mean, those are big issues. So we're trying to break that down and find out what part of town it's in and who it is. And we'll get back to you on that. But the other thing too that we had already we're trying to look at, but it's tough to get because the reporting is scarce for obvious reasons, is suicides.
Yep.
And WCTV did a story, and we're trying to follow up and add to that. Where last year there were 6 suicides. And this year so far, there's 19. And so, for
all ages?
Well, that's the thing. There's very little information. We're trying to figure that out. But very little reporting on this. But this is a big deal. I mean, if you look at, if you try to look at the COVID deaths under 55, which we've had five, you could actually, most suicides affect people under 60 from what I was able to read.
Right.
You could actually, during this period, have more people dying from suicide under 55 than COVID. And we're getting no talk about this because you just don't, that's a huge spike. That's over triple what it was last year. So there's a significant change in that. And so anyway, we're looking into that, but these are the things that, from the crime standpoint and the suicide standpoint, quality of life issues that we're really not, I don't think we're addressing properly.
Steve Stewart with me from Tallahassee Reports. When we come back, there's a new, I guess you call it a program with the city, this team program that might address some of this in sort of kind of way. We'll get to that next on The Morning Show.
And Beck, you want him on that radio.
America can handle the truth.
You need him on that radio. 9 to noon on WFLA.
Steve Stewart with me from Tallahassee Reports. The website, TallahasseeReports.com. A subscription to that paper makes a great Christmas gift.
It does, and we'll start pushing it out here soon. That's part of what we do.
I always like saying that. A thoughtful Christmas gift.
What'd you get for Christmas, Bobby?
Truth. There you go.
Yes.
There you go. The team program. What's this about?
Well, it's sort of interesting how this, you talked about this having an impact possibly on the suicides, but this, I think, is in response to some of the social justice issues that we've dealt with over the last 6 months. You've got a lot of the police-related shootings across the country, and even here, you have this issue where they come upon mentally disturbed people that have a weapon, and so there's a lot of argument that police officers are not capable of dealing with that they're going to shoot first, and so this is an effort. And I think this is something that's been done in the West Coast, where you're sending mental health workers out to certain calls. And, I've talked to some police officers about this previously, not in relation to this, but how do you know which ones are going to be violent and which ones are not? And so, again, on the surface, looks like a good option to try to mitigate some of these issues. But just look at the last three police officer shootings here. Two of them, you could argue, were mental health cases.
You could, but they were
all three. But I mean, at least two showed evidence.
And in all three, but in those two, it was... There was no option for police officers in that situation but to confront with deadly force.
Right. So I think, again, this is more of it's a compromise with some of the people that are demanding this, and then we'll have to see how it works. But it's not something. It's $500,000 that they're putting into it to begin with, and so we'll have to see if they track it and see how it works out.
Residents that live in the Northeast, especially in the Killarn area, are not happy campers.
I'm not sure about that, Preston.
And this is this thing on
the Wilani thing, and I've wrestled with this for the last 2 months because we've gotten different positions, different calls. If Killarn Homeowners Association was on board with the vote, I don't know if you're aware of that on Tuesday. Yes, and so this has been it's interesting to watch. First of all, for the listeners, there was this vote of extending the urban services area, the biggest extension in the history of the city of Tallahassee, for this development on Wilani Plantation
on the other side of Centerville Road.
Right, and it's been going on for a number of years. It became a political issue within the last couple of months. Brian DeLoge took a huge hit from the Killarn Homeowners Association after they had really sat down and worked out the connection of the road into the neighborhood. And then KHA came out and basically endorses a opponent. We had a lot of phone calls about this vote that was going to be Tuesday night, which was a vote of the city and the county about this. There was some talk of delaying it, people being upset about it. But it turns out, first of all, it turns out the vote was 10-2. 4-1 on the city side and 6-1 on the county side, Bill Proctor and then Jeremy Matlow with the city. And the discussion is that really everybody that had an interest in this, for the most part, Keep It Rural, KHA, Killarn Homeowners Association, were on board. They had worked through their issues.
And how did they solve the roadway issue?
I got to look. The roadway issue was about a connection.
Right.
Okay.
Running right through this subdivision.
They had already settled that. The issue was they wanted a traffic study done 10 years from now to make sure that it did, that increased density didn't impact Killarn. I got to tell you, the discussion at the table after the vote, there was a couple people, including Commissioner DeLoge, that spoke out about the misinformation that was passed around And it could have been for purely political reasons. But this has been sort of a PR nightmare. And I'm not saying that the county did a bad job. When I say it's a PR nightmare, I mean trying to get everybody on board on what was actually happening because you had so much misinformation out there. But like Keep It Rural, which was concerned about the growth, they were on board, from what I understand, with the final vote. They worked out. They got some concessions, what they wanted. You know, they might be philosophically against the growth, but they knew it was going to happen, so they worked, and they got some concessions, and they were on board. So it passed 10-2, and this was the thing that was creating so much anxiety among a lot of people, and again, as a political issue, and it passes 10-2.
Interesting. Steve Stewart with me. Another segment coming up next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart radio station.
Minutes after the hour. Steve Stewart with me from Tallahassee Reports. The website, TallahasseeReports.com. Get the paper, Steve. The obviously the election is the aftermath. We're still in it. We're going to be in it for a while, and it needs to play out. We've got to see what happens. You know, I just keep telling people Al Gore thought he was president for 37 days. So, you know, we'll see. I think the road's high for Donald Trump to have to climb because I think the fraud is that pervasive and invasive in this case. But locally, your thoughts on voting?
Yeah, well, so one of the things we like to do is try to look at the national dialogue of what's going on and then figure out how it's impacting local. So you start looking at voter fraud and, you know, questions about who's voting and vote by mail. So what we've done is submitted some questions to Mark Early, who's been very cooperative and obviously run, and Florida did a really good job in this election, asking him some questions about how they handle things. And then so taking that, you can sort of compare it and see how other states have handled it. And you can see that there's probably going to be a movement to have a more consistent federal ballot. But one of the things here that I have some questions about, and we asked him some general things like how many vote-by-mail ballots were set aside because of signature matching issues. So I wanted to know. And then how many of those, what percentage of those got cured? In other words, you called somebody and said, come here and look at it. And then also ask them how many people were qualified to look at signatures. Because, you know, I heard in Nevada, they actually have a machine that does a signature matching. And they can adjust it to how stringent it is.
Yep.
And that's an issue.
Yep. Here, who's doing the adjusting?
So here, I don't think they do it that way. I think they actually look at them. I think they have an individual that looks at them. So we're going to get those questions. So then you could compare it to what goes on. But one of the other things is the vote by mail, which has obviously expanded so much during this election, is that in Florida, you're not allowed to. You're only allowed to turn in your vote. In other words, you signature request it, a ballot, and then when you get the ballot, you have to sign it, and you can mail it in, or you can turn it in. But the issue is that you're the only one that can turn it in unless you have filled out a form to designate somebody else to turn it in. And this is where this gets really dicey, and this is the issue that's going on in other states, is in the negative connotation to this is called ballot harvesting, when someone can go around and pick up ballots and turn them in for you. And the idea would be there is they're, you know, if you're not going to vote, or maybe they buy the ballot or something like that and they fill it out, then they turn it in. And so here, how do they stop that from happening? Obviously, it's the signature. But one of the things that happened here, and we're going to get some clarification on, is they had a drop-off box. And so the question would be, how do you verify that somebody is dropping off their ballot if it's a drop-off box? Now, I heard there were some people there at the drop-off box. We'll get that clarified. But this is where you come in the problem, because what happened in North Carolina in a federal race that was overturned was an individual, political operative, which everybody has those, collected 500 absentee ballots and turned them in. Well, that's against the law. They're not. North Carolina's laws are similar to ours. He got caught because when he went, it was some very sparsely populated county. He would go and turn these ballots in, and he would sign his name. And so they went back, and when they were looking it up, he had signed 500 different times. So, in other words, he was sort of, He was following the wrong rules, obviously.
Yeah.
So the question would be, if this so that's an example of voter fraud and how you overturn an election. So if you take that and extrapolate it, so you look at somewhere like Georgia, you know, in Fulton County, are there people turning in absentee ballots or vote by mail ballots without signing and saying who they are? Are they going around and collecting them? Because that's against the law. The tough, you know, obviously this guy got caught because he signed his name. If he hadn't signed his name, or, well, if the county hadn't required him to sign his name, he wouldn't have been able to turn in the ballots, right? They wouldn't have taken them. So these are the kind of rules that are very nebulous with vote by mail and then allow, you know, confidence in our elections to fall. Just like you and I were talking about, when I went and voted on election day, they took my driver's license, scanned it, gave me a ballot, and nobody else touched that ballot. That's not the way it works with vote by mail, and there's different laws. I mean, in California, you can pick up as many absentee ballots as you want and turn them in. And so there are different laws, and this is what we're going through right now. And so anyway, that's an issue, again, that we're following up on locally to see how it's handled here so that you can get some perspective of what we're doing and where there might be some issues.
Would you be in favor? Would you think from an analytical standpoint, it would be smarter to have a separate federal ballot that was uniform across the country that had the same standards in terms of when they must be turned in by mail, et cetera?
I think that's what's going to happen out of this. You know, my personal opinion is that, you know, I would rather have a week of all precincts being open from 8 to 8 and you vote. You know, the vote by mail is just it used to be for
you have to have an excuse to vote by mail in the future. Out of the country, signed affidavits and the whole
thing.
That's
what it used to be. And then all these legislatures started passing laws that favored them, Republicans or Democrats. California's an example. Like I said here, we used to have a witness on an absentee ballot until the mid-90s when the Republicans thought that it would be more beneficial to them because older people were voting absentee and they were mostly Republican and they got rid of it. So I think your point, yeah, if you're going to do the vote by mail, it's going to have to be some kind of standardized voting procedures across the country.
Good to see you.
Good to be here. I appreciate it.
We'll be back next week.
All right. See you then.
Steve Stewart with us from Tallahassee Reports. Bill Zimpher is on deck.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
On News Radio 100.7, WFLA.
News team, assemble!
35 minutes after the hour of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. That is Dallas Rogers. I'm Preston, and joining us is national correspondent Bill Zimpher. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Preston.
Bill, we're not going to have a Bill Folder segment tomorrow, so I guess we're gonna end on this one. COVID infection soaring. I'm among those not the least bit surprised. I think we've delayed the inevitable with our best of intentions, but what's going on?
Well, yeah, we're at record levels, both as far as cases go, with 140,000 plus again yesterday, and with hospitalizations, which are now up to about 65,000, and there's no real solution in sight to this whole thing. Nobody wants to go through a shutdown, but there is a new study out here that might be able to help us all a little bit.
Okay.
And it really is information that should come as no surprise, but the scope of this is pretty interesting. This is a study that was published in the journal Nature, Preston, and what they did is they analyzed cell phone data from 98 million people in the country in 10 major cities. This was done earlier this year, and then they linked that tracking data to the number of cases. And what they found is that 80% of all COVID-19 infections can be traced to a small number of so-called points of interest that we all go to from time to time. Things like restaurants and cafes, which was number one on the list, gyms, hotels, religious venues, grocery stores. So this should really come as no surprise, but I think the 80% number is kind of surprising. And does it mean we should stop going to these things? Well, I mean, maybe you should think twice about working out 7 days a week. Maybe you should again go into the gym. Maybe you should think twice about that hotel stay. Maybe your church has virtual services rather than in person. The restaurant could be a question. The grocery store, well, I don't think there's many of us that can avoid doing that. But what it also emphasizes is that when you do go to these areas, make sure you're protected. Make sure you wear a mask and you're sanitizing and use that big tub of sanitizer that everybody's got out front now. So maybe it's information we already knew, but I think it pounds home a pretty important point.
Yeah, you know, Bill, I look at it, I guess, maybe a little bit with a contrarian view, and that is that I think what we're learning is what some of us have been thinking since March, and that is there is a degree of inevitability, because wherever I go, I see all kinds of people wearing masks, and yet people keep getting sick that have been wearing masks all the time. And I just don't, I still don't think there's satisfactory studies that show masks keep us from getting viruses.
Yeah, you know, that, and there's conflicting data on that all the time that we hear about masks. But we also know that it's like, you know, being struck by lightning, right? But it doesn't mean I'm going to go out in a lightning storm with that old one iron over my head. I'm not going to use that joke.
No, speak for yourself. But,
you know,
you have
know
a one
that,
iron.
Okay, there's conflicting data here, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go to an area that you might be more susceptible to. I'm not going to go to a frat party anytime soon.
Well, I've never got invited to one to begin with, Bill, so that's fine with me.
Okay,
I've never seen a one iron.
Oh, see, I had a one iron for years. Bill,
wait,
thank you.
You haven't heard that joke?
I've heard the joke.
I'm not going to do it then. Yeah, okay.
Thank you so very much, Bill. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
You got it. Thank you, Preston.
Bill Zimfer with us on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Got you covered. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
That's the goal. Feel good. Time for Optimum Health. Naturally, Dr. David Hartz joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Preston.
David, I teased this a little earlier in the program. We talked about whole food nutrients and some of the key things that we can do to boost our body's health naturally. But what about exercise? What is the sweet spot there when it comes to exercise for the heart?
You know, yeah, we do. We talk in this segment a lot about becoming healthy and naturally, and a part of it is definitely exercise. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is good news for some and bad for others, but there is a point, though, and this is what I want to talk about a little bit today, is there's a point, and it's not one that a lot of us reach because most of us don't do enough exercise, and I want to be sure to point that out, but, you know, in this millennial generation, a lot of, and especially even in different age groups, there can be a point where we exercise, especially running and endurance types of aerobic exercise, where we get to a place where we start inducing something called oxidative stress on our bodies. And when that happens, it actually reverses the process. It doesn't help us. It hurts us. And those a lot of the research now is showing that exercising is really, really important. In fact, the ones that it really helps the very, very most is the sedentary, that goes from being sedentary to the ones who start exercising. Those are the ones that get the best benefit from it. But I'd say, you know, most of us think, some people exercise every day, some people run every day, some people run long distances every day, and they're finding out that that kind of sustained, really strenuous exercise over long periods of time is not good for you. It actually increases chances of, different types of cardiac disease, as well as atrial fibrillation and other cardiac diseases. And I had a patient years ago that was a long distance runner, and I believe it kind of contributed to his getting some real bad health problems that cost him his life over a period of time, because he was taking some wrong supplements, plus really running every single day. And in fact, he was a real kind of a focal person here in Tallahassee. He wore costumes and stuff and ran, and it was very sad. But it can happen in that when we get too far into running and really strenuous exercise, it can actually be detrimental. But that doesn't mean we should not exercise. It's very, very important. And it kind of, one of the sweet spots I think we could find is we need to do aerobic exercise where we get to the place where we can maybe say a few words in a sentence, but not a complete sentence as far as, how much we get out of breath and so forth. It's you shouldn't be able to really, you know, maintain a complete, total, normal conversation. You probably are not getting enough aerobic exercise at that point.
And you're not pushing yourself quite hard enough under that circumstance then.
Exactly. And maybe an hour and a half to maybe a little less than 2 hours of that per week total, you know. So it doesn't have to be every single day, hours and hours and hours. But you got to get your heart rate up to where, you know, it is stressing you a little bit for sure. And if you do that on a regular basis, then it does show that it is very beneficial to you. And of course, if you're not sure and you're really, you know, starting this process, you need to be sure to check with your internist or your family doc or whatever before you go out and start to be sure that you're capable. Of course, if you get any symptoms at all, anything, you know, any pain, chest pain, anything else as exercise, and definitely get it checked. But it is something that's very, very important, but it needs to be done in somewhat moderation. The moderate exercise seems to work the best.
And, of course, if you are out there listening and you're not exercising, be smart about starting an exercise regimen. Again, get some advice and guidance on that because you don't want to do something too much too soon. David, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Okay. Have a good day, Preston.
Thank you, sir. Dr. David Hart's with us. We will not speak with him again until December because we have Thanksgiving that gets in the way. That's our next scheduled visit, so we'll catch up with David in December here on The Morning Show. It's Thursday. Coming up next hour, Kim Moore will be joining us. She is the guru of workforce. She's the sensei of, well, I can't think of anything right now that's clever, so I'll just stop there. She's going to come in and try to give us some new guidance on career choices, options. So if you know of somebody looking for ideas, it's coming up next hour on The Morning Show.
His opinion. He just happens to be right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Well, I got to finish his email here. Wait, what?
Are you vegan? Are you having trouble typing? You got to find the energy to type that email. That vegan diet's working for you. I'm so tired.
Okay. Morning Show with Preston Scott, and in light of that inspiration. McRib Watch. 19 days until the national release of the McRib. Tangy barbecue, tantalizing flavor of pork shoulder smashed into a bun with goodness all around it. 19 days, ladies and gentlemen. December 2nd is the national release of the McRib. McRib Watch 2020. I did get an update from Operation Thanksgiving, and we are at $6,475. So we are at just over $3,500 away from our goal of raising $10,000 to drill a well in northwest Cambodia in a small village of a few hundred people that have never, ever had clean, fresh drinking water. Get your mind around that for just a minute, and if you can, give. We're trying to get 500 people to give $20. Honestly, we've got people giving $5, $10, $20, $1,000, whatever you can give. Let's get to that 10,000 by the end of the week. Let's go for it. Now, I'm not on tomorrow to encourage you. I will post something on Facebook, though. I'll let you know where we are. But let's do this. $20. I know we can get this done. We will get it done by Thanksgiving. I'm not doubting that at all. I would just love to say we got it done. And then the sooner we get it done, you heard yesterday Tim Windmeyer with Samaritan's Purse say, the governments love us. We're helping their people. They permit us to move quickly. We could actually have this done before the end of the year.
What a Christmas gift to be able to walk into that village if you're Samaritan's Purse, say, let's drill. The entire village will be there. They will be there when they drop that rig in there and start going. Where are we going to hit that water? They're going to have an idea, but when that water hits, have you seen what happens when they catch fresh water? When they catch water out of an aquifer, it springs up like a gusher. It just comes flying out. Can you imagine the look on the faces of people? A village that has never, ever had that. And we can say we played a part. It almost makes me feel bad to talk about the garbage we have to talk about, which is the cheating, sick, twisted members of the Democrat Party that are telling people to move to Georgia to flood the state merely to vote in the special election.
Let me find the bleep button and we can talk about this just a second.
It started with New York Times columnist Tom Friedman. For those of you that are like, oh, come on. No, you stop it. Seriously. This is happening. A presidential candidate from the Democrat Party, Andrew Yang, is tweeting out, I and my wife are moving. We're going to Georgia. We're asking all of you to do the same thing. Let's swing the election. Do you know how sick and twisted that is? I keep using those words. That's how power hungry these people are. That's not how it's supposed to work. There's such a fine line there. They could be committing felonies, and you doubt that there are things happening in the elections that are questionable? Spare me. Okay, I need a timeout. Put me in my corner. Here we go, 5 minutes after the hour, hour number three of the morning show with Preston Scott. She is officially a rose among two thorns, but we go ahead and call her Kim Moore. She is the Vice President of Workforce Innovation at Tallahassee Community College, and the website hotoccupationsnow.com. Hello, young lady. How are you?
Hello, hello. Lots of good stuff to talk about.
Okay, where's our top 10? What do we got?
Top 10. So when you're thinking about those jobs, we got sales representative, we got software developers, retail salespersons, just general, registered nurse.
How much of this is seasonal?
You know what? The retail sales is a pickup and comeback. So that one we're seeing in the ebb and flow on that one. But customer service representatives spike there just because of, more sales are happening online. They're still selling. They're just doing it in a different way. Frontline supervisors, trying to get those folks back on the retail side of it. Maintenance and repair workers, general operations managers, and then management analysts. So a combination.
Do the people that submit to get on that end up on this list, Kim, the actual employers, do you get a sense of how many of these jobs pie charted out are at home and how many are at location or on the road?
I will tell you, even with the list that we're going to talk about today, 2 out of 10 offer remote employment opportunities.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 out of 10. And that is actually, we're seeing that more often than not. And that's just been a trend of just kind of where we are. And interesting thing about this, they don't even submit. We gather the information. That's the great thing about the service that we're bringing to the listeners, is because we're pulling all of that information at the state level and then able to drill it down locally as well. So it's based on advertisements. They have to have job vacancies. So it's not what they tell us. It's what we know that's been out there and that's posted and is available. So
who's hiring?
State of Florida is at the top of the list.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to fill some of that law enforcement workers and all of that.
Are those, now, I'm sorry, back to the state.
Sure.
Are those regular jobs or are they OPS?
These are regular jobs.
Okay.
So like human service workers, employment program specialists, because again, the work requirements that will be kicking back in.
A lot of people like that stability.
Yeah, so that's there. Florida State University.
Okay.
Got some there on compliance and online teaching. HCA, which we know, again, is when we think about Capital Regional Medical Center, Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare, True Leave, growing there.
I saw what you did.
You got me.
I saw what you did. True leaf growing.
Y'all didn't even see it coming.
That should be the jingle. That should be their slogan line. True leaf growing.
We're growing. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. See? And we got the sound background with that. Travelers Insurance and U.S. Bank Corps Guidehouse. Haven't heard about them. They do consulting and outsourcing. Yeah. So they are coming in as number 9. And number 10, BizServe. They are a tech solutions group, and they primarily work with credit unions and banks.
Okay.
So, and then you think about the technology piece, more people accessing it in a different way. So jobs and opportunity. Yeah.
Go to hotoccupationsnow.com. You'll get some intel on all of this, as well as links to training. It's real simple. Before we go to break, be essential.
Be essential, yes. We know where we are relative to our unemployment rate. We talked about it ending at the end of this month. It's not. We're going to continue that right through May. So if you're interested in getting retrained, 90 days or less, that's all it takes. We talked about this last month. 90 days or less, scholarships are available. Lots of scholarships.
That's both. Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. And how, what's the first step to find out about the scholarships?
They visit tcc.fl.edu, or they can always give us a call at 1-833-TCC-JOBS.
Is there a link on that website they need to find?
Yeah, there's. They could even look up, you know, if you wanted to be smart, Google Be Essential, TCC Be Essential. It's
okay.
There. All the 50-plus training areas.
50
plus training areas, 90 days or less.
All right, so if you're listening out there, if there's one thing, boy, just search out Be Essential TCC. If you or you know somebody, see, that's the other thing. A lot of people listening, they've got a gig.
Yes.
But you know somebody that's looking.
You know somebody that's looking.
And
yes.
They might not be listening to the show. First of all, that's a problem. You need to change
that. The biggest problem.
Yeah. And then, and then what you need to do is direct them to where they can get some help finding a gig. When we come back, we're going to define what Hope Reimagined is and what it might mean to some folks out there. And I'm going to hit Kim with a curveball.
Love it.
10 minutes after the hour on the morning show.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet.
On WFLA.
Her job title makes it seem like she's working for Disney. Actually, she's too good for Disney. Kim Moore with us, Vice President of Workforce Innovation. Thank you very much.
There we go. We innovate every day. It never stops. Innovate, innovate.
She's a reimagineer.
Exactly. Minus the ears, right?
We're talking. You have ears?
Not the Mickey ears.
We're talking about jobs. The website is hotoccupationsnow.com. That's where you go get information on who's hiring, the jobs that are being hired, and training if you need it. It's literally a one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. And that training, you were just saying that these scholarships are going to be available through May.
Through May. I mean, that's when
crazy.
It will end. But we're wanting everybody, you know, go ahead and sign up now. Register now. You know, 50 to 100%. Most of them are 100%. And again, we're really focusing on those who have been impacted by COVID. Hours got reduced. You lost your job. This is ideal. Move out of the vulnerable position and look at a career.
The idea of a career seems to be so far out of reach for men and women coming out of our correction system. You and I have talked. People listening to the show know that my wife and I are very much involved in a young man's life, trying to prepare him to get ready for that. But, you know, the title, Hope Reimagined, you've got something in mind. What are you working on?
We got something in mind. So thanks to our partner, Truist. I've shared with the listeners before that TCC is in 5 correctional institutions. Right now, we deliver workforce training. And to date, over 900 certifications have been earned by our transitioning.
Wow.
900 certifications.
That's awesome.
Thinking about plumbing, HVAC, electrical, you know, carpentry. I mean, just even culinary arts. So, yes, we want to make sure that through Hope Reimagined, and again, thanks to Truist on that, that we will be able to provide transitional services, not just the support that you look at when you're behind the walls, but how do you make sure that the skills that you've gotten, that they will benefit you and benefit society as you move forward. So maybe you need resume writing assistance. Maybe you need some job leads. Maybe you need to know about a housing referral because, you know, you're coming back out and it's been a while, right? So we want to make sure that it's smooth. We believe that that's certainly part part of the effort to address recidivism, and we're just excited to be going and expanding our direction. And again, it would not be possible were it not for people like yourself and Truist who believe in second chances and the fact that we can reimagine hope.
I would never ask you a question that would pinpoint a political ideology that you hold, because it would be detrimental to what you do. So I'm going to ask you, because I think you are in a position to objectively weigh in on the consequences of, or the end result of, Florida going in the direction of a minimum wage mandated that will eventually climb to 15 and then go beyond that. What do you think the result will be in the workplace?
I think the result will be is that, again, you have to weigh both sides of it. I think employers will hire fewer. I say that because you got to look at, even for our local area, and even when you look at statewide, our employers have, on the majority, 10 or fewer employees. If there is a mandate that pushes them in a different direction, and some of those employers aren't even taking home a salary themselves, they're trying to keep the lights on.
Yep.
So that would mean fewer employees. I would recommend that we look at more of upskilling, excuse me, making sure that individuals have the skills that can better position employers to compete and grow their businesses in a smart way through workforce development and economic development, and thus create job and opportunities and allow for a great wage at the same time.
Doesn't this at the same time force back to that initiative of being essential? Because, you know, a worker with minimum skills is going to be the first one cut.
Absolutely. And employers, I mean, you think about it, this is a business operation that they're trying to keep open, and they're not looking for support or assistance. They want to make sure they have a talent and skilled workforce so they can grow the smart way. So.
All right. We're going to be watching that unfold.
Yes, we
don't
are.
Have a choice, at least for now. I'm still hopeful we'll, and this is me, I'm still hopeful we'll get about 3 years down the road, the economic damage will be measurable and the legislature will put it back on the ballot to reconsider.
We'll watch together.
Good to see you. Thanks so much.
Good to see you too.
See you next month. Kim Moore with us. It's hotoccupationsnow.com. That's the website. I get email every time. Hotoccupationsnow.com. There you go. It's the morning show.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
Okay, gotta go here. Didn't plan on it. So, Portland Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, Portland, Oregon, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the group that defunds the police. They voted to defund the police.
Yeah, hard. They voted.
She called on November 1 to get a Lyft ride at a casino in Ridgefield, Washington. So she's across the border, right? And so she calls, and according to the Lyft driver, Richmond Frost, Hardesty ordered a ride sometime after 9:30, and she was at a different entrance than the call told him to go to. So once she got in the car, she was angry. He said her whole tone was very demanding. No way.
Really?
Not a Portland commissioner.
I'm shocked.
He said Hardesty was also angry he would not roll up the front windows all the way. He said he keeps the front window open because of COVID safety reasons to allow fresh air to circulate. He keeps the back window closed unless the passenger wants them opened. As they began to ride south, she continued to complain, and he decided to cancel the ride. He took the next exit, pulled in the Chevron gas station, told her the ride was canceled. She did not owe him a fare, but she needed to get out of the vehicle. She calls 911. Dispatch, what's your emergency? Well, I've got a Lyft driver who just decided he would drop me off at a filling station. He wants me to get out, and I'm not getting out of the car in the dark at a filling station. Not happening. All because I asked him to put the window up, but I'm not leaving. He said I have to get out of the car. He's calling the police. I decided to call for him. First of all, you know what a conservative does? A conservative makes the argument, and then says, okay, and gets out. That's what a conservative would never have been in that position.
Right.
They'd have said, cool, I understand it. You want the window open? Cool. I get that.
Yeah, get it.
And so, dispatch, it's not a crime to call the cops. And so she said she feared for her safety as a black woman by herself in the Ridgefield area. So she calls 911, the very group that she wants to defund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one she's trying to fire.
I'm telling you right now, I am with you. You were the first one to say this. I am 100% on board with Dallas's remedy. Law enforcement keeps a record of all people that believe in defunding law enforcement, and they don't get service.
Nope. You have opted out of protection.
That's
protective
fine.
Services.
That's fine. We have fewer people to worry about.
Yeah.
No problem.
Start. I wouldn't miss a martial arts class if I were you.
Rent all the Bruce Lee you can get your hands on.
You might want to write that down. You can do it again if you want. And you got to slap your nose with your thumb when you look at somebody. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Dialect after your mouth moves the whole nine yards. Governor Ron DeSantis. Thank you, Governor. We asked, you remember when we asked the question? I raised the question when all the mob rule was going on in the late spring and summer. And I said, is Florida positioned to expand their castle doctrine, self-defense laws for property? Remember? Mm-hmm. In Florida, property's not listed. You can't defend your property. I said, I think times are changing. I was told the governor was working on something. Anti-mob legislation that would expand the state's stand your ground law. The way it would work is the legislation is an attempt to prevent violent and disorderly assemblies by permitting violence against anyone involved in the interruption or impairment of a business.
Ooh.
Describing burglary within 500 feet of a violent or disorderly assembly is something that is defensible against. The draft includes measures which would make protesting, which disrupts the public by blocking traffic, a third-degree felony. Law would also repeatedly grant immunity to drivers who unintentionally kill or injure protesters who were blocking traffic. The law would allow state to withhold funds from local governments that cut police budgets. Boom. That's why Ron DeSantis is popular in Florida, ladies and gentlemen. We ain't having none of that stuff here. Crazy. But I was told he was doing it. Here it is.
Yes, it is.
I love it. 27 minutes after the hour, the big story in the press box. Next.
Someone has to say it. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Well, okay then. Big stories in the press box. Yesterday, I had heard about this when Thomas Friedman pushed it out in a column. I had hoped that it would get ignored, like a lot of things Thomas Friedman writes, but sadly this found an audience. And what was pushed out was the notion that leftists ought to take interest in the Georgia special elections for the United States Senate and relocate to the state, vote for the two Democrats, and then leave. Friedman told CNN's Chris Cuomo, I hope everybody moves to Georgia in the next month or two and registers to vote and votes for these two Democratic senators. Well, Andrew Yang, a former Democrat candidate for president, tweeted out, there isn't much time. The earliest date for absentee ballots to be mailed for the runoff is November 18th. The registration deadline is November 7th. In-person early voting begins December 14th. The best thing we could do for Joe is to get him a Democratic Senate. There should be coordination of resources.
Everyone who campaigned for Joe should get ready to head to Georgia. Algo, it's the only way to sideline Mitch and give Joe a unified government. He followed that up with another tweet. Evelyn and I, his wife, are going to Georgia to help. This is our only chance to clear Mitch out of the way and help Joe and Kamala get things done the next 4 years. More details to come, but let's go. He later said, we will be getting organized, but in the meantime, if you have a room available in Georgia for volunteers, post it here. We're going to fight it out in Georgia. Much more to come. So yesterday, I called one supervisor of elections, Frank Scoggins, in Thomas County, and asked him if he was aware of the organized effort. He'd heard of things, but he did not know that it was this organized, that it was underway. He explained that you do have to have a photo license. They have to have a Georgia driver's license. That could be tough to produce that quickly. Could be. They have to have to be registered by the 7th.
Unless they got a friend at the DMV that can get them in a line and do it all in one day.
Or you just present a document that looks good enough and you have enough campaign workers that are sympathetic that look the other way. I mean, this is rife for fraud.
Yeah.
You know, these people giving a room out, forming some fictitious lease, creating some bogus energy bill, whatever it might be. As I stated in my op-ed and another thing, this gate is wide. We don't know how wide, though. And to get back to the issue at hand, yes, Mr. Scoggins explained, this is a felony if you're not a resident. None of these people will be residents. None of them.
Well, that was my first question, was what length of time constitutes residency? Like, can
one day.
One day.
You can register one day after moving there.
See, that's how does that constitute residency? You morons up there. Oh, my gosh.
Senators are supposed to represent their states. And they're supposed to represent the citizens of their state's interests. That's why we have two in every state. Every state has two senators. Other people living in other states are not supposed to determine what residents in another state want.
Mm-hmm.
Those residents are supposed to determine it. To me, I don't know that this is legal or not. I don't know. But to me, the solution is if you were not registered to vote in time for the November 3rd general election, you're not eligible to vote in the special election that's subsequent to it. If you were registered to vote but chose not to and now want to, that's fine. That's fine. You were registered to vote. You sat it out for whatever your reasons were. Doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is this has to be stopped. And if you're listening to me in Georgia, you darn well better be part of the a solution to stopping this problem. You better not be opening your homes up or, you know, I ended my commentary with this. There are Democrats that are willing to sell their soul to gain the political world. And that's something I feel very sorry for. It's sad, but that's where we are right now. 40 minutes after the hour on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
It's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
COVID-19 cases are spiking. Hospitalizations, I don't suspect deaths will. I mean, there will be deaths, but that's what's going on. But I'm just wondering if any of you are rethinking this whole mask thing now. How long have we been dealing with masks? And here we are. Cases spiking. You know, some of that is centered around areas that had no problem with Joe Biden celebrations. Cities that suddenly had no problem with, well, it's okay.
They're just happy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are some of us that have been saying, no, there's inevitability to a virus. And
you either have a little immunity to it and you're going to be fine, or you're going to get it and you're going to have the sniffles and you're going to feel crappy for a few days and then you're going to be fine. Or maybe you're going to be in a compromised health situation and you're not going to be so fine and you're going to have to get some serious treatment. But the treatments that were laughed at, remdesivir, oxychloroquine, and others are, steroid treatments. They're now
with the nebulizer, yeah.
Yeah, they're now not so laughed at. But we're now looking at an advisor to the president-elect that on January 20th, you watch, if he's elected officially the president of the United States, he's going to try to push a mandatory lockdown. Thankfully, there are a bunch of states run by Republicans that are not going to have any of it. And Florida's one of them. You're not going to have that happen in Florida. I don't believe that there can be any constitutional support for it. And honestly, I kind of look forward to Joe Biden trying it. Because inevitably, there will be a lawsuit that will end up in the United States Supreme Court, and we can settle this. No, the government has no right to make people wear something when there's a 99.8% rate of health in the wake of this. It defies logic. And again, to those of you that think masks are the be-all, end-all, I'm just asking you, prove it with a study. Because there wasn't one until May. We've had viruses for generations. And there's never been a suggestion that masks help healthy people. If you're sick, wear one. Cool. Do us all a favor. How about do one better? Stay home. Don't go out. But you watch what happens. Can you imagine 5 to 6 weeks? Now, we would be exempt. We'll be exempt. We'll be allowed to go on the air. I've already got my exempt card. But could you imagine if we shut down this country for 6 weeks?
No. 60% of the businesses wouldn't reopen.
It's insanity. Oh, they're going to just give money. They're going to just print a bunch of money.
Where's that coming from?
Well, the printing press, and so they're gonna tank the value of the currency.
Because that's how that works.
Jam our debt and deficit up even higher, and of course they're gonna use that to justify. Well, we're gonna have to tax people a little bit more, and then you're gonna watch Joe Biden. Yeah, we weren't gonna tax anybody below $400,000. It's gonna have to be a little lower than that. Yeah, just. I don't want any of these things to happen. I'm just going to be sitting here with a big fat I told you so when it does.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi refuses to denounce socialism. She was asked outright. She won't do it. And you see Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren standing in line waiting for a job? Socialists. 46 minutes after the hour. Okie dokie, the total now for Operation Thanksgiving is $6,475. Who's going to get us to 6,500? 65, 65, who's going to get us 66? Got to get us to $7,000. How about 8? 8, 8, 8, 8, 8. Man, I couldn't do that in 1,000 years. Couldn't do it.
That's a brutal job, believe it or not.
I've been asked to be a celebrity auctioneer. Yeah. It's been years, and now you want to know? Here's how I did it. Okay, here's the deal. You all know the cause. Great cause, right? Okay, this is worth this much money. I can sit here and sound stupid, or someone can just give me double that. Anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I did auctions.
Hey, look, that is just as effective. The whole, hey, okay, you know, I mean, it's no different than somebody sitting behind home plate.
Yeah.
Messing with I mean, that's all it is. They're repeating three or four different syllables the entire time.
All I know is it's an art doing it. I respect anybody that has that skill set. But I'll raise more money than you will. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. But we are trying to get to $10,000. We are off the air tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. We will be back on Wednesday. And Wednesday we talk tort reform with Bill Hurley and personal defense with Charlie Strickland. But I'd love to get us as close as we can to 10 grand before the end of the week. And that means today. Because I can't push it very much if I'm not on the air tomorrow. So whatever you can do, it's SamaritansPurse.org/WFLA. And give as much as you can. We're trying to get to $10,000, drill that well in northwest Cambodia. And that'll be sweet. Because we're probably going to get video when they do it. We're going to probably get a live phone call when they do it. I mean, that's going to be just... I mean, I'm clearing the decks. Whenever that happens... I'm clearing the decks, and we're going to hear it happen. When they're drilling, we're going to hear it happen, I hope. And then we'll have some video to follow. So, again, it's SamaritansPurse.org/WFLA. Time for the Morning Show 180. Look back at the radio program in 180 seconds or less. Democrats openly urge people to commit voter fraud by temporarily moving, air quotes, to Georgia. It is so wrong. Who does this? Who checks their conscience at the door? Never mind. I know the answer to the question. And it ought to frighten you. People, this is the stuff we laugh at when we see it on the news in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. We laugh at this in China, in North Korea, in Russia. We laugh at this in Iran and Venezuela. We laugh at this. This is third world stuff. We don't do this. Well, but it's legal. No, it really isn't. You're not moving to stay there. Stop it. And that ought to tell you everything you need to know about the people, Thomas Friedman, Andrew Yang, Democrats in general, that are advocating this. They don't have a moral compass. And if you end up on the other side of them, you will learn that firsthand. They don't care about you. They care about power and control, and they want to control. Hence, some of the things... You realize that the guy in charge of the coronavirus policy for Biden at this point believes that first, the vaccine, if we have one, should be shipped out of the world, not here. We shouldn't get it. And secondly, that people 75 and older shouldn't be treated. You realize Joe Biden's 77? Oh, but he'll be the exception. Back on Wednesday. Have a great weekend.